Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
Welcome to Federal Insights for February. What's next for intelligent automation and the federal government? Sponsored by Appian.
Welcome to another edition of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. At the Bureau of the Fiscal Service's Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation, or FIT, projects have now been launched to help better understand the future role of digital workforces to improve financial management and agencies' customer service. The Bureau of the Fiscal Service is looking to use tools like artificial intelligence and machine processing in both of those arenas. Federal News Network's Jason Miller caught up with three people leading these efforts at the Treasury Department. Adam Goldberg is FIT's executive architect. Craig Fisher is the office's innovation program manager, and Jennifer Hill is FIT's management and program analyst.
First of all, let me thank you all for the time. Bureau of Fiscal Service is embarking on two new pilots, one on using distributed ledger technology, commonly known as blockchain, one on AI, and we're going to talk about both of those. But first, let me turn to Adam Goldberg. Adam, as the executive director of FIT, you're kind of the helping to kind of oversee and push forward some of these emerging technologies. Give me the initial kind of sense of your ideas around why you're testing all these things out, because I think Bureau of Fiscal Service, specifically FIT, is known for really pushing the envelope in a lot of technologies.
What we feel is at FIT is that there really needs to be an organization that's dedicated to thinking about the future and what the art of the possible is. And given where we sit within the government and Treasury, there's many opportunities to really explore how an agency interacts with us and how that might change, how citizens interact with us and how that might change, and how any other entity like a bank is also interacting with Treasury. And we really want to keep pace with what the private sector is doing.
How many times do you look at this, let's say, distributed ledger AI and say, that's an opportunity for us? Or how many times does the opportunity present itself? Meaning, are you looking for a place to use blockchain and will you find one, or the vice versa, an opportunity presents itself and you said, hey, that could, if we could apply a blockchain, that would make us that much better?
I would say it's really about 50-50, which is in the blockchain space, we've actually been very proactive in pursuing how we want to apply that solution and what is the best use case. And we've used several iterations to get to the point we are today. I think the work that we're starting right now in the chatbot arena, that was really a partnership with others who came to us and said, you know, would you like to partner with us? We're really interested in applying this technology to our call centers. And how could we go about doing this?
I've talked to several different CFOs and people in the financial management world, and they seem to be very excited about bots and RPA, and very excited about this whole set of emerging technologies. From FIT's perspective, it seems like the time is right. I mean, things are coming together to apply these technologies to really relieve the burden that a lot of financial management experts, you know, workers face each day. Is that the other part of your role, that you're hoping to kind of be that center of excellence or center of that hub to say, hey, here's what is possible?
I think we'd like to consider ourselves as a catalyst. And so when we embark on these projects, we'd like to kind of see a waterfall effect happen at the agencies. For example, we were probably one of the first agencies to start with robotics. We funded some projects at a couple other agencies in robotics, which then spurred interest in other places. And now we've seen it mature to a point where many agencies are using it. There's a government-only community of practice. And I think in this case, we've really fulfilled that responsibility of being a catalyst.
Now, speaking of that catalyst role, let's turn to Jennifer Hill. You mentioned you were working on one of the latest pilot programs, proof of concepts around artificial intelligence. So talk a little bit about what that means and what some of your goals are around that project.
So I'd actually say that it's less of an AI project and more of a customer experience project. So we are looking at a way, not only how can we make the customer experience better, but how can we automate that experience? So kind of like Adam touched on how we're trying to keep pace with private sector, people expect a more modern interaction with companies, just like they do in their lives outside of working with the government. And so we're kind of trying to, I guess, keep pace with that and offer our customers an experience that is more modern, hopefully more seamless, requires a lot less touch points.
Well, how are you using the bots, or how are you using the emerging technology to improve customer experience? Can you walk me through what this proof of concept will look like?
Yeah, sure. So we are looking at using chatbot technology specifically to give customers a single point of entry into the Bureau of Fiscal Service. Because right now, not only is it sort of painful to be a customer of the Fiscal Service, but there's also many points of entry right now for customers to get into the Fiscal Service. So by implementing this technology, it gives them that single point of entry. They'll be able to talk to like a virtual assistant that can likely answer a lot of their general questions, and then also make sure to get them to the right place, where right now they really 75% of the calls we take are misdirected calls, so they're calling the wrong number to start with. On top of looking at technology, we're also looking for ways, how can we make it where customers never have to even call us? So how can we be more informative out of the gate so that they never even need to call us and not even experience that misdirected call? So it's a pretty exciting time. We're also looking at how can we implement that same technology on our websites, because really the technology can go either on the telephones or on a website. Our websites are not very user-friendly, and we are trying to make them better. But in the meantime, we could implement these virtual assistants to help people navigate the websites and find the information that's already out there.
Generally speaking, though, would you say people want to talk to people? Or is that part of the culture change that they have to get used to? If the chat bot works well, if it gets you the answer you need, I'll become, if you will, more satisfied, more comfortable with this concept of a chatbot?
So I actually touched on this yesterday in my panel, and I said it kind of depends on how you ask the customer the question. So it's not, do you want to talk to a person? It's, would you like to get your answer right away? And if the answer to that is yes, then this technology can give them that solution. It can give them their answer right away. So I do think there is some hesitancy for people to, they want to have that interaction with a person, and you're always going to have those people that want that. And we're not talking about taking people completely away. We're just talking about how can we make that experience better by using technology, and so that they can get that answer up front.
Typically speaking, what kind of calls does the Bureau of Fiscal Service get, or what kind of misdirected calls do they get? Everyone's calling you for their tax return, for example, or what?
Yeah, so the Bureau of Fiscal Service processes, is it 87% of the payments for the government? So we receive a lot of calls on payments. We receive calls on savings bonds. Where is my bond? I received this letter about a bond for my grandma who passed away. We do revenue collection. So we have people calling in that have received a letter about a collection. We manage debt for other agencies. So we have them calling in. So we receive a lot of diverse calls just in that government to citizen space that we call.
That was Jennifer Hill, Management and Program Analyst for the Bureau of the Fiscal Service's Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation. She was one of three people Federal News Network's Jason Miller spoke to about automation projects going on at the Bureau of the Fiscal Service. Hear more from this interview after a quick break.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP-certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
We continue our interview with three members of the Bureau of the Fiscal Service's Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation, conducted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Let me turn to Craig now. You guys also are doing a proof of concept around a blockchain distributed ledger technology. Discuss what that proof of concept looks like and what are some of the goals around it.
Yeah, so this is probably the third iteration that we've had on our blockchain journey. We had did a couple projects where our first project was looking at managing and tracking mobile phones, and we used that as our test case just to understand what blockchain technology is, what's the value that it can give us. We graduated up from there looking at, can we manage and track software licenses using blockchain technology as well. Found that as you apply blockchain technology sort of at a grand scale across government, there's a lot of challenges that we're going to have to overcome. So this next iteration of blockchain is not only trying to look at it from sort of a smaller yet sort of a cross-agency use case, but also looking at it in terms of trying to understand what value can this actually give the transfer of value. In fact, this is the first financial management sort of core use case that we're looking at when it comes to blockchain technology. So we partnered with the National Science Foundation to see if we could use blockchain technology to improve the grant payment process. Typically, the way that grant recipients receive funding is that they will have to go into a system, say NSF system, and draw down those funds. Well, the government can see what those transactions are, but if there's a sub-recipient involved where that recipient turns around and pays somebody at a lower tier, we don't have any sort of value or we don't have any visibility over those transactions, over that money flow. So we're trying to understand whether or not blockchain technology can improve that visibility and in the meantime can reduce some of that reporting burden that we're putting on some of those recipients and sub-recipients because we can't see that stuff. So we're asking them to report on a lot of different stuff so that we can see how they're spending this money. We're trying to understand, can blockchain improve this process for folks?
One of the things about the grant reporting piece is it has a long tail. So, you know, if company A or organization A has grants and they subgrant and subgrant and subgrant, and the whole goal is to follow the money, if you will, right, by putting off this this hash, this piece of computer code that says, oh, the money went from person A to person B to person C or organization. That's kind of the theory of how blockchain works in this regard.
Yeah, so in the place of money in this situation, we would be using a token. And that's kind of how blockchain works. You digitally represent something of value. In this point, we'd be representing sort of a payment obligation for work performed within some sort of a grant. But as long as that token stays within an ecosystem that we're all a part of, we can see those transactions occurring in real time. So when that token gets down into a final recipient, when the folks are actually providing the services, the benefits to the recipients, then they can convert that token into dollars. So then we have that complete traceability for that, where that token flew all the way through from the start all the way down to the finish.
How many people are participating in this initial proof of concept and how long is it going to run for? Give me a little bit more background.
Yep. Well, one of the principles that we use at FID is to start small and start simple. So we're partnering with the NSF to understand how they do these drawdowns for grantees. Once we understand that process, once we understand where the blockchain could potentially help some of these friction points, we're going to start to include a couple universities in this as well. And NSF predominantly uses universities as their grantees. We want to include them in this and kind of getting to what Jennifer talked about before. What's the customer experience that folks are actually experiencing when they are drawing down these funds? So we're going to keep it small and tight right now for this first 4 months, but hopefully if we're learning that there is some value here, we want to expand that now. Network to other letters of credit systems and other folks like that so that they can participate and help us understand if this is something that's going to be valuable for the government.
Jennifer, similar question to you, your plans for this customer service bot, how many, how often? It seems a little different than blockchain because we know bots, how they work, people are more comfortable with the use of bots. But what is your plans in terms of timing and numbers?
So our timing, so back to Craig's, our principle on starting small. So we are just starting in one of the areas within fiscal service to implement this with plans of how can we grow this out to the entire enterprise. So that's our plan for fiscal service. I think the way that we're looking at this is we talk about maybe working with the community and working government-wide long-term. We would look at, like, could we set up a community of practice around using AI for call centers, like a very specific narrowed use case on how to use the technology, because we recognize that fiscal service is not the only agency in the government that has call centers, and how can we show what we've done and use our successes to help others.
And in fact, I was going to ask that question because one of the main areas for like the Centers of Excellence initiatives is contact call center, customer experience. Are you borrowing from them? Are you looking at other places within government or even the private sector to say, hey, Verizon did it, how can we borrow from them?
Yeah, so I am part of those other groups that you've mentioned, and I do plan to, you know, use whatever we can learn from those and apply it to what we're trying to do, and then vice versa. How can we share with them what we're doing? And this is where it's really helpful to have, like, industry be involved with what government is doing, because they are the ones that can come in and say, hey, we have this use case where Verizon is doing this and where they've seen success, because we do recognize that private sector is way ahead of us in this regard, so we should use what they're doing to help us in our journey, too.
Let me turn to Craig, because same question, because blockchain and distributed ledger technology, someone will tell you no one's using it. But if you talk to Jose Arrieta over at HHS, he's their CIO, he'll tell you, well, the Hong Kong stock market's using it, and this stock market's using it. He'll go through a series of people who are using blockchain. Where are you kind of looking for advice or borrow, beg, steal from?
Yeah, I would say that I'm doing very similar things to what Jose is doing. We're looking across the entire globe. In fact, we even did a study trying to show where are these applications actually coming to bear roots, and some of the things in, like, cross-border payments. We're seeing some activity in that space. But I think for the most part, we're looking to some of the banks, Federal Reserve Bank as well. It's good. What's the activity that they're doing in terms of transferring value? And I think a lot of what they do, some of the core things that we do at the Fiscal Service, I mean, at the end of the day, we're looking at, can we use this to better transfer money between people? We don't know the answer to that right now. So I think we're trying to understand what that looks like. The banks are doing it, and I think we're trying to replicate a little bit of what they're doing as well.
That was Craig Fisher. He's the Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation's Innovative Program Manager. He was among a group who spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. Hear the rest of the interview after our final break. I'm Eric White.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP-certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
Here's part three of our interview with members of the Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation at the Bureau of the Fiscal Service. Federal News Network's Jason Miller starts off asking Adam Goldberg, its executive architect, just how he actively manages the office while still allowing room for creativity.
Adam, I'm going to swing this back around to you to do these innovative things, because there's no guarantee success. There's no guarantee that using distributed ledger technology for grants will be the future. Chatbots, I would say, we're probably on better, more solid ground on. You have to give them, the folks at FIT, the ability to fail, if you will, or the ability not to succeed is maybe the better word. How are you dealing with that risk aversion? Because a lot of people may listen to this and be like, well, they're FIT, they're special. I can't do that in my agency. How do you give them that enough of a rope, if you will, to be successful or to fail?
I think there are things that we've done thus far where we didn't get the outcome that we thought we were going to get. And one of our strategies to address that is we write about it and we tell the world, this is what I did and this is what worked. And here's some of the things that didn't work so well, which has been important. And the community has really responded to that candidness. The other thing is that we don't set up projects that are 12, 24, 36 months. So we are really only investing 4 to 6 months in a lot of these efforts. We're testing a very narrow piece of technology or capability, and we're not trying to solve every other problem that may need to be addressed as part of that. So keeping it small, keeping it working in partnership with other agencies has really helped us.
What's the reaction been from, you know, Dave LeBrecq and others at Treasury and Bureau of Fiscal Service when things haven't gone as you hoped? I mean, have you gotten the top cover, if you will, that you had hoped that you needed? Or how has that top cover responded, I guess, is the better question.
I think generally what I would say is the response to things has been quite enthusiastic. Initially, we got a lot of questions because this was a space that Treasury and Fiscal Service hadn't played in as actively as now. But as we were able to have some accomplishments, achievements, and be able to explain to the community what we're doing, there's been a great deal more openness to try some of these new things.
Jennifer and Craig, let me turn to you both for this similar question. do you feel like you have that long runway, meaning not 2, 4, 5 years, but hey, 3 to 6 months, I can really prove that bots can make a difference, or I'll prove that they won't. Do you feel good about kind of that ability to try something and potentially failing is okay?
Yeah, I do feel like we have the runway to do those things. And I think that we Fit have done a really good job of messaging things not to be failures, but to be these are the lessons that we've learned. And we've taken those things and we're still learning. But we have sort of created these guiding principles, if you will, like our start small, start simple. We have that because we learned our lesson that way. We didn't have a failure necessarily, but we tried something bigger and it didn't really work. So we kind of decided, okay, this is a foundation that we need to stay with. So I think we've just gotten good at our perspective and how we message things.
Have you had, you've used bots and RPA for other things at Fiscal Service. Can you walk me through what some of those other examples are?
So we are using bots at Fiscal Service. We started in our finance area, and that's predominantly still where those bots are found, but we have moved out. They're actually doing some processes within HR and doing a lot of what they were like copying and pasting jobs in HR. They're doing that now, and I think the bot that we have that's actually saving the most hours a year is a human resources bot. There's been a lot of talk about how we're going to move that out across the enterprise so that we can start moving into like the areas I mentioned in our chatbot area, our government to citizen space, where we're taking a lot of these phone calls. There's a lot of routine tasks that are being done in that area, and that's where we really, I think, need to go in the future.
And Craig, similar question for you. You guys have used, you mentioned two other examples of where you've used distributed ledger technology. What did you learn from those experiences that you're now applying to this latest one?
Well, I think the first thing that we learned is that, you know, getting back to our principles, we take all that risk of taking a new technology and instead of moving it into our technical environment and trying to do that, we just move it out. We put it in a contractor site. We don't have to worry about trying to get all the security things that we have to get figured out before getting in there. And I think it's just our way of sort of like doing things quick and doing things short term. So that was one of the things that we learned, is that this technology right now is going to be really hard to bring into our environment. So I think that needs some time to mature, some things to mature. But again, I think going back to what Jennifer said, I think a lot of this is just a state of mind for us, to where we're not trying to make blockchain work. We're trying to understand the value that blockchain can bring federal financial management. And if that is a yes, we're going to try to figure out how to work it into our stuff. And if that's a no, we'll pivot and try to find something else. But I think we often get the reputation that we're trying to make these things work. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. We're trying to understand them, understand what value they can bring to our communities, and then deploy them if they make sense.
And Adam, finally, just to tie this all together, you're overseeing or helping to lead a lot of these emerging technologies, and I think a lot of agencies want to go down this path. What's the one or two things you would offer to them, advice, lessons learned, be aware of the pothole that you've found that maybe you've stepped in that you can hope others haven't?
At the beginning of our journey with these emerging technologies, we were very enamored with these new bright, shiny things like blockchain, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and we find that agencies also get very enthusiastic about them. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure them out. But what we have learned is that we need to spend more time trying to achieve the right outcome from using these technologies than trying to make sure that the whole world understands what those technologies are. And if you don't know what outcome you're trying to influence, bringing that technology in may not be the highest and best use of the capability.
Adam Goldberg is executive architect for the Bureau of the Fiscal Services Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. You also heard from Craig Fisher, who is the office's innovative program manager, and Jennifer Hill, its management and program analyst. You can find this entire episode on our website. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for February. What's next for intelligent automation and the federal government? Sponsored by Appian on Federal News Network.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.